On Midwest Week, despite being removed from office, the mayor Muscatine is back on the job. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sarah Ritter, reporter for the Muscatine Journal. So, Sarah, what is the current status of Diana Broderson?
Right. Well, for that to make sense, I kind of have to go back to May of this year. On May 11th, the city council, in a three-minute meeting, unanimously voted to remove Mayor Diana Broderson from office. Broderson's now appealing the removal in court. Less than a month after the vote on June 6th, a judge reinstated her as mayor immediately. She's been serving ever since while her case goes through court. And right now we're waiting on the final ruling from the district court judge. He'll ultimately decide, and this could happen as soon as next week, if the council's removal of the mayor was constitutional. And she was the first mayor in recorded Iowa history to be impeached by a city council. So not much precedent for this. So it's interesting to watch how this will play out.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was she first elected mayor?
She was elected in November 2015. She took office in January 2016. She unseated two-term incumbent Dwayne Hopkins, who was kind of a favorite among the city council. He did not expect to be unseated. Broderson had a very powerful message that resonated with voters about her saying that she was trying to give everybody a voice who had been unrepresented. And, you know, that hit home with a lot of people, and so she was elected.
Mm-hmm. So what's the problem between her and the city council? Was it the fact that she beat the previous mayor, or were there some other issues involved?
Right. Well, so the role of mayor in Muscatine it's very limited. It's mostly ceremonial. It became more limited when the city code was changed in July 2015, right before the election, and it's become even more limited since Broderson took office. They kind of claim that she's been trying to turn the role of mayor into a strong mayor form of government, like the mayor in Chicago or something like that. She's been saying that she's been taking complaints from residents that have, you know, been afraid to speak up at council meetings, but have went to her and felt comfortable telling her these things. And she's taken those concerns and questions and looked into them and investigated them. And when she hasn't gotten answers, she's gone to state agencies, and things like that. And another, you know, really the only power that she has held is being able to appoint people to boards and commissions. That power has now been taken away. Within her first couple of months in office, she tried to start making some of these appointments to boards and commissions. She said that, you know, even if they weren't the most experienced people, she was appointing people who offered a different perspective, who were from a different socioeconomic background, a different gender, a different race, etc. And the council kind of fought her on all of these nominations. They said, you're appointing a person to zoning and planning, or you're appointing a person to power and water. You know, these are people who need a little more experience than this. These are people who need to know how zoning works. So really kind of one by one, they started fighting these nominations. Eventually, they voted to take away her nominating powers. They've now created a separate committee, which includes the at-large council members. The mayor is part of it, and a staff person to now make the nominations. So she doesn't even have that power now. So them kind of fighting her on the nominations, that's really when the mayor started questioning if the council was attempting to just completely take away all of her powers. And that's kind of been the rhetoric. And in her second month in office, right after taking office, she made her first allegation that the council was discriminating against her based on her gender. And it was kind of in a thread of emails about them fighting her nominations. She wrote at the end of an email, I wonder if you're treating me this way because I'm a woman. The council did not take that lightly. The city decided to hire an outside firm for $4,000. They paid for the study, which they claim came back, you know, peachy, everything's fine, there's no gender discrimination. I have yet to, you know, actually see that report. And this was kind of the trend that kept happening. She would make claims, she would ask questions, they would fight her on it, or they would hire an outside firm, look into it, say that was false or baseless, that was proven false, and it just kind of kept going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Other things that she did that they said was a violation of city code, she allegedly spoke to city staff directly, before going through the city administrator. It is written in the code that elected officials are supposed to talk to the city administrator, who then will talk to department heads or city staff or however that works. I've had council members since tell me that they speak directly to city staff. Maybe they copy the city administrator on emails, but I think the main point is they're not supposed to be, you know, going to anyone and just giving orders. And Broderson claims that that's not what she was doing, and she's been held to a higher standard than other elected officials as far as that goes.
Now, Sarah, is it really a violation of Muscatine for the mayor to have coffee with residents and talk about city issues?
Right. So that's another issue, is that she's, and it's not just coffee with the mayor. She tried to start two other committees as well. And that is apparently a violation of city code, that the mayor cannot create committees or task forces. Previous mayors had done this, but it was under a different city code. So the mayor tried to hold these coffee with the mayor sessions once a month. It was set as a time for her to speak with residents. Residents could come, ask questions, speak to somebody. She would pass along their concerns and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The city administrator claims that that would qualify as a committee or task force, which the mayor would not be allowed to create without council approval. The mayor, of course, says, look at any basic definition of a committee. This is not what this is. It's not a set amount of people with a set goal. It's just, you know, kind of a public forum type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the city administrator has also told me that even if it's not a committee, it still would be outside the scope of her authority. So in his eyes, even though it's not written in the city code, you know, her just holding a public forum without council approval, I think would be a violation of her duties of office.
Okay. Now, what about Muscatine residents, Sarah? What do they think of all of this?
Right. So, yeah, that's an interesting question. I'll say, you know, the mayor's supporters have really been the loudest throughout all of this. They've been extremely angry and upset, you know, feeling that their choice for mayor has not had the opportunity to really serve as they wanted her to. And, you know, at first, anger was really directed at the council. They were the ones making the votes. They were the ones in the public eye doing this. And as time has gone on, and now that we're in the court case, I think the anger is more directed at the city administrator and the city attorney. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, they're the ones doing the litigation. They're the ones now that are kind of in the public eye. But also, I think more information has come to light. I think it's been proven this is more nuanced than kind of the David and Goliath type story that we've been hearing so far. And part of that is because the city has been unwilling to speak throughout the whole process. It's been within the past just few months that they've been willing to talk to the media about it, and it has not been often. And so, you know, the mayor's kind of been able to tell her experience and tell her story, craft her side of the story. It's been kind of this underdog type story. And, you know, now that the city's a little more willing to talk about it, it might just be too late for, you know, residents to see what they've seen. And, yeah, they're very upset. You know, there are some residents, you know, you look at social media, there are some who speak out in favor of the council. And I think there are probably more people who just recognize that both sides have been at fault. You know, both sides have made decisions that seem inexperienced, or, you know, both sides have been bullheaded and unwilling to compromise. And I think that's kind of where most residents at the end of this are kind of landing.